Okay, today's daf is Ksuvas daf Ayin Vav. Ksuvas daf Ayin Vav, we are on Ayin Hey Emma Beis. Let's go back. So the Gemara had asked the question, what is the pshat of our Mishnah? Because in our Mishnah, where it spoke about Mumin of an Isha, and it's unclear whether these Mumin were there before Erisin, so then it was a Megaktos, and then the husband decided to give the Ksuba, or the Mumin came after Erisin, and then it's tough luck on the... on the husband, he still has to pay the ksuba because of the moment of the kiddushin, the mumin were not existent. So the first line of the Mishnah says that the father has to prove that the mumin were there only afterwards, and if he doesn't prove it, so then the husband does not have to pay. The second line of the Mishnah says the husband has to prove it, and if he doesn't prove it, then he has to pay. So who is the burden of proof on? Is it the father or is it the husband? So the first answer of the Gemara was a machlokas. Each line of the Mishnah really is a separate shita. Whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Gamliel, like we had back in the first parak. That was answer number one that we had, the answer of Rabbi Elazar, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. Answer number one. Answer number two is Rava. Rava says, let's start that again. Rava Amar in the middle of the Ayin Hama Beis, Reisha Kanim Suvakan Hayu, Seva Nami Kanim Suvakan Hayu. No, there's a new type of chazaka here. In other words, if we look at it, this new type of chazaka is kind of in between two chazakas that we're familiar with. There is something called the chazaka de Meikara. Chazaka de Meikara means you go by the chazaka of what always was. And you assume that what always was continued until just before you found out that something changed. That's chazaka de Meikara. It goes from all the way at the beginning until the second level you found that something changed. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, you have something called Chazaka Dahashta. Chazaka Dahashta means look at what it is now, and whatever it is now, this is the way it must have been going backwards until you don't know otherwise. So Chazaka Demeikar and Chazaka Dahashta work in opposite directions. Chazaka here of Kanimsu V'Kanhayu is somewhere in the middle. Kanimsu V'Kanhayu means you found it now, so that's like a Chazaka Dahashta, and you go backwards. You go backwards like Chazaka Dahashta, but you don't go backwards the whole way. You only go backwards till the beginning of the time that you knew it was in this place. Because you're not machzik, you don't say a chazaka changed from one place to another place. So if this exists here, so you assume that it started to exist right when it got here. So you have two extreme chazakas, chazaka de meikara and chazaka de hashta, and this is somewhere in the middle. Again, so now let's see how it fits in. Kanimsu v'kan hayu. So in the reisha, where the woman is still in the rishus of her father, and there's a mum there, so we assume this mum was always there. So that's why the father has to prove that it only happens, came about after Erisin. But in the second line of the Mishnah, in the Seifa, where she is now in the Rishus of her husband, so then you assume it was here the second that she came into the Rishus of her husband. That's when it started, which was after Erisin. And therefore, the husband has to prove that it was there even before Erisin. So that was the second shot of the Mishnah. The third shot we're going to have, that's Hashem, in a couple of minutes. But now let's go. Esve Abaya, let's read. We're in the middle of a question, so we'll start it again. Esve Abaya, in the middle of Ayin Hama Beis, Nichnas to the Rishus of Baal, Baal Tzarach Lavi Raya. If she already went into the Rishus of the Baal has to bring the Raya, Sha'at Shalotus Ares, Hayabam Omen Elu. The Baal has to bring a Raya, that before Erisin, these women existed, Vayim Mecha Mechatos. As we said, that the husband has to bring the Raya, that these were there before Erisin, to prove that it was a Mechatos. So the Gemara is Medayik, At Shalotus Ares, and Mishitus Ares Lo. The husband only can bring a Raya. What's effective? Only if he brings a raya that the mumin were there before Erisin, and therefore the Erisin was a Mekav Tos. But if he brings a raya that the mumin were there after Erisin, even if he could prove that they were there while she was still in her father's house, but if he only proves after Erisin, then it's not good enough, and he would still have to pay the ksuba. And ask the Gemara, why is that? V'yamai, leima kanim suvakan hayu. Why don't we say that once the husband could prove that these mumin existed in the rishus of the father, that should be enough. Because once we know they're there, so then the prince, the chazaka, would kick in. These were always there, and therefore he shouldn't have to prove it was there beforehand. So that's the question of the Gemara. What's the difference if he proves before Erisin or after Erisin? If both of those are in the reshus of the father, so what difference should it make? So the Gemara says, yeah?
How can you have two concepts about a similar issue that are so opposite?
Right. It's opposite. Chazaka sometimes work in opposite directions. Like we started off, Chazaka de Meikara works in the opposite direction of Chazaka de Hashta, and then this is somewhere in the middle. You're going back a little bit, But again, you find some of these concepts. Like we had the concept by Nida, first Mishnah in Nida. Right? If a woman sees blood, so how much do you go backwards? So three different opinions. Do you go back? Do you say you don't go back at all? Do you go back a little bit? You're right. That's on a Drabbanan level. But here it seems to be even on a Daraisa level. You were talking about a Motzi Mamon. But you're right. There are different types of chazakas. You have to see which chazaka wins. We'll talk a little bit more about chazaka soon. So Amar Leih. So again, what's the question? If the husband could prove that these women were there already while she was in the reshus of her husband, so what difference does it make whether he proves before Erison or after Erison? You should say as long as he proves that they were there in the reshus of the husband, kanim suva kanayu, and then the reshus of the father. You should say that's good enough. So Gemara says no, there's a difference. Amar Leih, mishenis arsa mishum deikal meimar chazaka inadam shosu bekos elam kein bodko. If he only proves that they were there after Erisin, so that won't be good enough, because there's another chazaka that's working against him. There's a chazaka, a person doesn't drink out of a cup unless he checks what's in the cup. There's a metaphor for a man doesn't get married until he checks out what her status is. So we assume he did know about it. You're right, these were there after Erisin, but we assume that he knew about it, and it was mochel. So therefore, there's a chazaka working against him, and that's why after Erison wouldn't be good enough. So the Gemara says, so yachay ashlo desaris nami. So even if the woman were there before Erison, so why is that good enough? We say after Erison is not good enough to bring a raya. So what's it, if it's all based on the fact that he has a chazaka going against him? So again, what difference does it make whether he proves beforehand or afterwards? By the way, there's a Rambam in Hilchas Mechira, Perek Tezvav Halacha Gimel, which the Magen Mishnah says is based on this Gemara. The Rambam says in Tezvav Gimel, Hamocher lechaveiro karko evedo behemo shar metaltzlin. Man sells his friends something, karko or a behema. V'nimsa b'mekach mum shelo yada ba'olokeach. The mum is found that the olokeach didn't know about. Machziro afilu acher kamishonim. Shezem mekach tos. If I buy something from you and I don't use it for 5 years, I can get my money back. There's no statute of limitations, you know, when it comes to buying and selling things if I didn't know about it and it's a mekach tos. But that's only if I didn't use it yet. But once I use it, once I know about the mum and I use it, so I can't be mochel. Says the Magen Mishnah, what's the raya? Our Gemara, because what does it say? And once you use it, once you drink out of the cup, so it must be that you are mochel. So back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, again, what's the difference between before? What's the difference if the husband brings the raya that she had the mum before or after Erison? There's a chazaka going against him in either case. Ella, what do you want to say? There's a chazaka going for him in either case. Is there a chazaka the other way that even though a person could like say theoretically, I can live with it, but that's a difference. It could be that once he lives with her, he realizes that he can't live with it. Ain adam mefayis b'mumin. So, Hakanami Chazaka Yadam Mefayis B'Mumin. So you can say it the other way too. So again, we're back to our question. What's our question? We have a principle called Kanim Suva Kan Hoyu, which means that there's a Chazaka of once you find a certain situation, you assume this was the situation at the beginning time that this situation existed. Meaning, if you find a situation in the husband's house, you assume it was there at the beginning of the time when she came into the husband's house. If you find it in the beginning, in the father's house, you assume it was always there. So if that's the case, so why do we have a brisa that says that there's a difference whether he brings a raya before or after Erison? What difference should it make? It should make a difference if he just brings a raya in the father's house. So Ella, here's the difference. Mishan is arsa. If he brings a raya that the mumin were there only after Erison, that's not going to be good enough. Why? Mishum di'ika tarti. There are two things working against him. Chazaka hemer aguf al cheskaso. She has a cheskes haguf that she didn't have these movement when she was born, so she has a cheskes haguf chazaka de meikara that continues. V'chazaka in adam shuzo b'kos elam kin bodko v'irav and afayisu. And there's a chazaka that people don't get married unless they check things out, and if they check things out and he married her anyway, it must be that he was mocheles. So there are two chazakas working against him after Erison. My Amrit, what are you going to say? What's working for him? Chazaka in adam afayis b'mumin. What, that a person isn't mefuyas by mumin, and therefore, even if he knew about it, maybe he can't handle it. Havechad b'vakam tarti. There's only two against one. There are two chazakas on her side and one chazak on his side. Vechad b'vakam tarti lo aminan. And when it's one against two, it doesn't work. So on her side, there's a cheskas haguf, and there's a chazaka that a person doesn't drink out of a cup unless he checks it out. On his side is only a chazaka that ate out the mafayis b'mumin, two against one, and therefore she wins. So Yisrael's about to ask, what do you mean? There's two on his side too, right? What? Well, kanisuva kanhayu, right, that's one question, good. One question that we showed him ask is, what about the chazaka kanisuva kanhayu? They say that's a weaker type of chazaka. That's a principle that we would use, but it doesn't have the status of other chazakos.
He has a chazaka of mamon.
Cheskas mamon, that's the kasha. He has a cheskas mamon on his side. He has the money in his pocket of paying the ksuba. So that we're going to see in the Rishonim in a minute what they do with that question. Why don't you say it's two against two? The chazak is about mumin, cancel each other out. And then there should be one against one. Should be a cheskas agof versus a cheskas mamon. So we'll get to that in a... We'll get to that in a second. First, though, there's an interesting ha'ara of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer asks, he's mesupik. What if there's one mum from beforehand, and then there's a, or not even that case. Let's say there are two mumin, says the Chasam Sofer. There's one mum begalui, one mum on her forehead, as we had yesterday. And that, bavadai, we say, Rav is pious. As we saw, it must be that he realized, he saw it, and he was pious. But there was a second mum besesa that he didn't know about. Do we say, says the Chasam Sofer, that once we know he was mochal on one mum, so then it must be mochal on the, right, she has a mole, she has a shuma. If he's mochal on that, so do we say that he's mochal on the one in private also? Do we have such a type of, do we have the ability to say that? Or do we say that no? Once he was only mefuyas on this, he was only mefuyas on that, you can't stretch it. So says the Sharm Mishnah Balacha, the Chasam Sofer does not answer the question. The Sharm Mishnah Balacha quotes, V'nir elach ora, yesh lomar, dimnis pais b'mum sheba galui, kol shekesh pais b'mum sheba seser. On the one hand, you should say, of course, if he's mochal on a public mum, surely he's mochal on a private mum. Or, he says, what's the sarachin of the Chasam Sofer? Or maybe you say it's cumulative. One mum he can handle. Two mum, so what is, but one's b'seser, one's b'galui. Maybe it was never, it's chozer v'neir. He says, once there's a second mum, then even the first mum now starts bothering him, and there's a cumulative problem here with this woman, and therefore, you can't assume that he would be mochel. Okay, there's the suffix discussion about Mephias b'mum. Again, by the way, halacha l'maisa, these shilas come up. The shalas come up in terms of what is considered a mum to break up a marriage. You know, what happens if there's something, a serious issue with the husband or the wife? Let's say in terms of infertility. In terms of something that happened earlier in life to the husband or the wife, there was some type of sickness that either of them had, and they didn't tell each other before the marriage. And afterwards they found out that one of them has a certain type of syndrome. Right, so there's a number of set of halachas. Number one, what do you have to say before the marriage and what not? How early? We had a tshuva of Moshe about that in the past. You don't have to say everything on the first date. Okay, once it starts getting serious, maybe you should start talking about things. But let's say somebody doesn't say anything. So what's considered a breakup of the marriage? Let's say a woman doesn't have ovaries for some, you know, and she doesn't tell the husband. So is that a mum? That's a mum sheba seser, but is that a... So you know, all these are serious questions. Halacha l'maisa. What if there's just a certain percentage based on something that happened earlier that made the husband, you know, unable to have children, but there's a 20% chance that he can have. So is that something that has to be? Is that a mum? So all of these are serious issues that poskim have to work out. Okay, getting back to our question. So our Gemara says, so in a case where he brings a raya that the mumin were there after Erisin, so that's not good enough for him. Why? Because there's two against one that she should get the ksuba. She has a cheskas aguf from the beginning of her life that she didn't have these mumin, and she has the chazaka that a man doesn't check out a cup unless he drink from a cup unless he checks it out. And on his side, it's only the chazaka of einadam b'fayis b'mumin. So it's two against one. Let's just do the contrast, and then we'll come back to the question that we mentioned. Achelot tesaris. But if he brings a raya that the mumin were there before Erisin, so then Hamin al gova cheskasa loikil amemar, that she has no longer has a cheskas aguf. I'm on the top of Ayin Vav Man Aleph now. She no longer has a cheskas aguf because her cheskas aguf has a reyasa. Because even before the Erisin, we know she had the mumin. So she doesn't have a cheskas aguf from the time she was born until the Erisin because that's ruined. So Ma'ika, what's left? Chazaka de'ed adam shos b'kos elam kein botko v'hai rov v'nefayisu adrav chazaka in adam v'fayis b'mumin. What do you mean? So the specific chazakas about the mumin cancel each other out, or the chazaka, a person doesn't drink from a kos unless he checks it out, and because he did, it must be that he knew about it. On the other hand, de'ed adam v'fayis b'mumin, so those cancel each other out. So what's left? Ha'amin mamon acheskaso. His cheskas aguf, he keeps the money. So therefore, that's why if he brings a raya before Erisin, he does not have to pay the ksuba. So again, we ask our question. In the first half of the discussion, if he brings a raya after Erisin, it's not good enough because it's two against one. The two mumin chazakas, but she has a cheskas aguf and he doesn't have anything. So the question that all the Rishonim ask is, what about a cheskas mamon? In the second line, the Gemara thinks there's a cheskas mamon. So what happened? So first Rashi. Rashi, second line. First line. Hemid komar cheskas lo amrina denevi nami hakatarti. We don't say cheskas mamon. We don't say it's two against ku. Cheskas gufa versus cheskas mamon. Why? Very important Rashi. De b'makom chazaka de gufa, chazaka de mamon alav klumhi. So Rashi's saying, when there's a cheskas haguf against the cheskas mamon, a cheskas mamon does not exist. So what does Rashi mean?
Isn't that a machlokas tanan?
Okay, but Rabbi Yeshua says you go after a cheskas mamon, but that's also by, that also gets into bari v'shema issues. It's not purely, but you're right, the Gemara seemed to say that Rabbi Yeshua does not go by a cheskas haguf, only when there's a cheskas mamon against. Okay, so you could say this Gemara is assuming like Rabbi Gamliel. Let's assume that way. So Rashi says, why isn't there a cheskas mamon? Because when there's a cheskas haguf, there's a cheskas mamon that does not exist. What does that mean exactly? I saw one of the mafarshim explain that what's a cheskas haguf? Cheskas haguf is, you would say, it's based on logic. There was a certain situation that existed beforehand. You don't know when the situation changed, so it's logical to say the original situation continues unless you know otherwise. Right? Same until proven different. There's a svara to cheskas haguf, and therefore you assume that they don't change. What about these other chazakas involved? Eight of them mafayis b'mumin and eight of them shosu b'kosel lamkin botko. Those are psychological chazakas. You know, what would people do? So those cancel each other out. So those are again a different. It's not a purely logical. You know, once there was a certain nature, we assume nature stayed until nothing changed. These other two types of chazakas are psychological chazakas, right? So those would be in the same category. But then you come to cheskas mamon. Cheskas mamon. He has the money. He has the money. So we'll let him keep the money. So what type of chazaka? Is that a logical chazaka? If I come and say, you know, give me, you're wearing my shirt. I say, give me my shirt. You come and say, give me my shirt, and I'm wearing a shirt. So maybe that's where you could say, Amotzi b'chavar lav araya is logic. If I'm wearing the shirt, it's mine. But what about here, in these types of cases, where you don't know whether the guy should pay or not? So we'd say, he has a cheskas mamon, he's holding the money. Is that logic? So one of the mafarshim explains, that's not based on logic, it's based on the fact of, you know, status quo. If you don't know what to do, if there's a suffix, keep the money where it is. So maybe the pshat of Rashi is as follows. Cheskas mamon is logic, that you assume the situation continued. Once there's a cheskas haguf, once there's cheskas haguf, there's a logic involved, so you never say cheskas mamon. Cheskas mamon, in this case, this type of cheskas mamon is only said if you don't know what to do. If there's no other logic, so then the cheskas mamon says, you know what? Let him keep the money. It's like a shev al tasa is better. But once you have a cheskas haguf, which is telling you what to do, cheskas haguf is saying, there is no suffix here. We assume the status didn't change unless you know otherwise. So then cheskas mamon doesn't get off the ground. That's the pshat of Rashi. The malkum cheskas haguf, cheskas mamon doesn't get off the ground. So that's why in the seifa, in the second half of the Gemara, what did the Gemara say? When the cheskas haguf is itra, when there is no cheskas haguf, then what's left? Hemin mamon cheskaso. The Gemara doesn't even say the words hamotzi mechaveiro lav araya. That might be, again, this wasn't said there, but maybe one could suggest maybe there's even a difference between hamotzi mechaveiro lav araya and hamein mamon al cheskaso. The words hamein mamon al cheskaso is more of a shev al tasa. You don't know what to do. Keep the money where it is. Hamotzi mechaveiro lav araya, as we discussed in the past, that might be a beerer. If I'm saying to you, give me my money, and you say I don't know what you're talking about, so then hamein mamon al cheskaso. But here's a suffix whether he has to pay or not. So there, that's a different type of chazaka, and therefore, that's the pshat of Rashi. That's answer number one in the Rishonim. Why doesn't he have a cheskas mamon to counter her cheskas haguf? Because Rashi says cheskas mamon does not exist if there is a cheskas haguf. Cheskas haguf is based on logic, cheskas mamon is just based on suffix. If there's no suffix here, it doesn't get off the ground.
So can you say that a
beerer
beats a nihug?
So does a beerer, generally a beerer beats a nihug? That's why we usually say, let's say, cheskas mamon we usually say is a birur. We usually call that a birur, though. That's the problem here. Here we're contrasting it. But that's why I wanted to be mechalik, maybe between a motzvah and a varaya, and hamei mamon cheskasa. The Ritva gives another answer. He just says, you know why he does not have a cheskas mamon here? Because he has a taina shema. And the Pnei Yeshua expands on this. Chazakos only have their true power, says the Pnei Yeshua, by a taina's vadai. If the person has a claim of certainty, a vada, and then he has a chazak on his side. But here, She knows when the movement started, so she can say her cheskas aguf, but he has no idea. The Baal doesn't really have any idea. He's claiming it. But a taina shema with a cheskas, that's why the cheskas mamu doesn't have any power here. Because he only has a taina shema. That's what the Ritva says here. Lo chashiva le klum, but makam shu taun shema. Tekimen techiyuvo baral ufaninu sheniklas of ischayev la puksubasa. That's why it doesn't work. Number two. Number three, third and final answer, is Tosfos. Interesting. Look at Tosfos gives two answers. We're going to do the second one. The first medium line in Tosfos, the Od Yesh Lafarish. Tosfos says, let's say that he has a Cheskas Mammon on his side. Let's say. But Tosfos says, you know what? Is it still she would win? You know why she still wins? Because if she has either of her Chazakos working, she wins. He needs both Chazakos for him to work. So she's still in a better state. Right, what does she have? If her cheskas haguf is true, she wins. If the chazaka ain't on the chosen because of them kate boko, she wins. Either one. But for him, he has to have both. That a person can't live with the moment, and the cheskas mamon, that he keeps it. So that's why she's in a worse state. He has a yado al tachtona, because even if you want to say it's two against two, still, she either or wins. And with him, he has to have both to win. So that's Tosfos' svara. Why have a Baal, fourth line? Lo miftar atshach you kol atamim al elu emes shem echanim sheker mafsid abal hukal gerei tame. She is in a better position because she just needs one out of two things to win. He would need both. Okay, three answers: Rashi, Ritva, and Tosfos. Back to the Gemara. Rav Ashi Amar, third pshat of the Mishnah. We had two yesterday. We had Rav Elazar. We had Rava. Totally different pshat. Again, what is the pshat of the Mishnah? What was the question? The question was, why does the first line of the Mishnah seem to say that the father has to bring the raya? The second line proves that the husband has to bring the raya. Who's the burden of proof on? Is it him? Is it the father? Is it the husband? So Rav Ashi Amar, Reisha mana la'aba biyatcha, v'seifa mana li biyatcha. Rav Ashi has a chiddush. Rav Ashi says, she has a cheskas aguf, right? She has a cheskas aguf that these women only came after Erusin. Her cheskas haguf, says Rav Ashi, can only work for her and not for her father. So in the second half of the Mishnah, when she's already in the husband's house, and she is the claimant, she wants her ksuba, so then her cheskas haguf works for her. And therefore the husband has to bring the raya if he wants to not pay the ksuba. But in the resha, she's still in arus in her father's house, so her father's getting the ksuba. Her cheskas haguf does not work for her father. Says the Ritva, what are you talking about? Cheskas haguf? It's a metzius. Why shouldn't it work for the father? This cheskas aguf. Let's say the Ritva says if you have a chazaka that a mikvah had a certain type of had 40 sa'ah. So that's a cheskas aguf of the mikvah, and it works for anybody. What do you mean? It has to be personal? Says Ritva, no, here it's different because the father has a taina shema. If the father had a taina zvadai, then it would work for him too. But because the father has a taina shema, only she knows for sure. So if father only has a taina shema, so then, that is why it doesn't work for him. The Masizan ain't ato in bari el Hashem, v'lo yo cheskas aguf, b'makam cheskas mamon, elo kisha toveya to in bari. V'havi lo la'ava bal shema v'shema. But in the Seifa, it's working for her personally, and that's why it would work. That's the difference between the ratio of the Seifa, the father or the daughter. The cheskas aguf would only work for the daughter herself. Esvir v'achab reidu rav'avi l'rav'ashi. But we have a question. Moda, remeir b'mumen haru'in l'avoi ma b'meisaviya. We have a question because we have a Tosefta that says that Remeir, who is the author of our Mishnah, would admit that if she's in the father's house, but if there are mumen there, that there's a good chance that they were there beforehand, sha'al ha'av l'havi raya, then the father still has to bring the raya, because these mumen we assume were there beforehand. But 1 second, says the Gemara, v'amayim manali bi'atchahu. But what do you mean? Who cares that it was supposed to be in the... It might have come from the father's house. Right now, she's in her husband's house. Right now, she's the claimant. If right now she's the claimant, she should have a cheskas aguf on her side, according to Rav Ashi. If she's the one claiming the ksuba, so she should win. So Gemara answers, you're right. That Tosefta was about a specific case. Hachamai eskinan biyaseres. That case is talking about a case where Vadai came from the father's house. She had an extra finger. She didn't grow an extra finger last week. She was obviously born with an extra finger. So therefore, it's 100% that this was there from the father's house. That's why the father has to prove it. So the Gemara says, so what's he going to prove? He says, my right ika, my see. So how's the father going to prove that this came after Erisin? It obviously didn't. So where I said, no, Mariah, derav, and afayisu. He'll bring a raya that the husband knew about it and was mochel. That's the kind of raya he'll bring. Period. So we have three, just to sum up, three pshatim of what the Mishnah, why the Mishnah has a difference between when she's in the father's house or when she's in the husband's house. Either it's because it's two different, it's machokas tanaim, that was number one. Number two, kanimsu kanhayu. Number three, cheskas haguf only works for her and not for her father. Period. Two dots. New sugya. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Hamach lepar b'chamar u'mashach b'al hachamar sapara v'lo hispik b'al hachamar l'mshok ad hachamar chameis hachamar. I'm selling you a cow for your donkey. So we're doing chalife shave b'shave. Right, we'll talk about more about this in a minute. So we're switching. What?
A trade.
I'm giving you my cow and you're giving me the donkey. So we go to, I go to your house and I pull your cow. Can you mashicha? And then we go back to my house and we find my donkey dead. And we don't know when the donkey died. Did the donkey die before I pulled the cow? So it was still in my rishus, and therefore the sale wasn't good. Tough luck on me because it was before we did before I pulled the cow. What does he know? I said the donkey died after I pulled the cow. So the donkey was already yours, and therefore it's tough luck on you. It was already yours and the donkey died. Because this is based on the principle, Rashi quotes, that right, the Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin, once you do chalifin like this, so once I pull one, then the other one is nicknet to the other guy as well, automatically. So that's why there's this suffix. So who has to bring the proof? Who has to bring the proof when the donkey died? So says the Gemara, says Shmuel. Shmuel says, Al bala chamar lo haviraya, shaya chamaro kayim shas mashichas para. The donkey, the original donkey owner, meaning the one who just pulled the cow, has to prove that his donkey was still alive when he pulled the cow. But if he cannot prove it, then he has to give the cow back. That's Shmuel's statement. Tosas here discusses, maybe we'll come back to it at the end if we have time. Tosas has three different opinions here. You know, why does the guy who's holding the cow now have to prove anything? He's muchzak in his cow. There's a cheskas meikara that his donkey was alive until proven dead. So why should he have to prove? Why should he have to prove anything? So I'll mention it now once we're here. So Tosas' first day is, no, there's something called cheskas marakama, which is a very strong type of chazaka. There's a cheskas marakama. If I own something, it's considered mine until proven otherwise. So a cheskas marakama, says Tosas, might even be able to beat muchzak and cheskas haguf, of being alive. That's Tosas for Tosas Al has three different days about this. About why does the Baal HaChamar have to prove it? Doesn't muchzak and cheskas haguf win over? Why doesn't they win? So Tosas, the answer is number one. Cheskas marakama is very strong. It's the first line of Tosas. Time of the Shmuel, the mukminon lapara becheskas marakama. It's a very strong chazaka that whoever owned it originally owned it until proven otherwise.
So we have a chazaka that things don't drop dead?
Correct. That's the cheskas haguf. Things don't drop dead. That's what the Tosas question. So the Tosas pshat is cheskas marakama even beats that. That's number one. Number two, you can just look at this third to last line of Tosas. Maybe it's not based on cheskas marakama, but it's based on the fact that once you see it dead, that's a reyasa. You're right, things don't drop dead. But if you see it dead, it's obviously died a certain while ago. You know, so that's number two. And then Tosas has a third opinion that maybe this muchzak, this is going as the going over to Amud Beis in the Tosas, but the third, the 15 lines down in the Tosas, v'nira l'riva, Tosas says maybe this isn't really a chazaka of muchzak here. He's not muchzak, he's physically muchzak, but the whole issue is you don't know if he should be muchzak. Because you don't know if the donkey died beforehand. So that's the third day of Tosas. Venera l'riva, the davka hacha, shamach l'aksum misupak papara. So here is really, a real muchzak would win. But here, his whole muchzak is on very shaky ground. So 3 days in Tosfos, where is it? It's on, what is cheskas marakama? Cheskas marakama is that this chamar was the bala chamar owned the chamar until proven otherwise. Cheskas marakama means that the ownership continues until proven otherwise. So here, so you don't know whether he owned it yet or not. So you say that he didn't own it; the sale did not go through. That's cheskas marakama. Okay, we have to talk about Barabasra issues. Third pack of Barabasra is all about cheskas marakama, cheskas gimel shana. Okay, so this is the shita of Shmuel. Shmuel says again, we're trading a cow for a donkey. I pull the cow, and we find out the donkey died. The original owner of the donkey, have to prove that the donkey died after I pulled the cow, and therefore the sale goes through. V'tana tuna kala, and Shmuel says the Mishnah about kala is a proof to me, and we assume that's something about our Mishnah about the kala getting married. So, what part of our Mishnah is a proof to me? That's the question of the Gemara now. Hey, Kala, which part of our Mishnah? So, three opinions. Ilema Kala Bebesa Viha. If we say that it's the first line of the Mishnah that's a proof, What is this lamid? Kalbe Savia? Rashi explains. We're going back to the first answer that we gave in the last plot. What's the pshat of our Mishnah? It's a machlokas tanoim. The first line of the Mishnah is according to, first on the Mishnah that says that the father has to bring a raya, is going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yeshua back from the first parak. Rabbi Yeshua says it's the husband is always in the driver's seat. He wins because of the cheskes aguf. So is that a proof to Shmuel Kalba Bei Savia that everybody agrees like Rabbi Yeshua? And what's the parallel to Shmuel? That you're not motzi mamon misafek. Just like in the first line of the Mishnah, the father has to prove it. And if he doesn't prove it, he doesn't get the ksuba. You're not motzi mamon misafek. That's the case of Shmuel. In the case of Shmuel, I'm not gonna be motzi this cow from you unless we know otherwise. Unless we know that the donkey died before, afterwards. So that, maybe the first line of the Mishnah is the proof to Shmuel. So Gemara says, me dummy, you can't know, what do you mean? That case is not parallel to the case of Shmuel with the cow. Hasa maisi av raya umafik. In the first case of our Mishnah, the line of our Mishnah, the father's bringing a raya to be motzi the ksuba from the husband. What's going on in Shmuel's case? He's trying to bring a raya that the doggy died later, and he wants to keep the cow that he's holding. That's not parallel. To be motzi mamon from the husband, to keep the cow that he's holding, that could be a proof to Shmuel. One's motzi, one's makayim. So that doesn't work. So another try. Again, what part of the Mishnah is a proof to Shmuel? Amar Rabbi Abba, kula bebeis chameha. Yeah.
Shouldn't it be easier to be motzi something than to be motzi?
Okay. Shouldn't it be easier, meaning if in the Mishnah, what the Mishnah says, that in order to be motzi, you have to prove it.
Right.
So it's not vadai that in order to be makim, you don't have to prove it. You're right, logic might say that, but you might say, oh, you have to prove it even to be Mekim. The Mishnah's not against that. What? But it's not, the Mishnah's not a proof to Shmuel. Right, the Mishnah says that to be Motzi, you have to prove it. So, Lav Dafka, that it's a proof, it fits in with Shmuel, but it's not a proof to Shmuel. So, third line. Amar Rabbi Abba, second try, Kalva Beis Chameha, which means the second line of the Mishnah, which we said is the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel. Meaning, Rabbi Gamliel always says that the husband has the lower hand, the husband has to prove his case. So maybe that's a proof to Shmuel. That just like there, for the husband, if the husband wants to keep his ksuba money, he has to prove it. So too in Shmuel's case, if the guy who's holding the cow wants to keep the cow, he has to prove it. So maybe that's the one that's a proof to Shmuel. So Gemara again says, no way. The Akati Lo Dami, it's still not parallel. Hasam Baal Maisi Rayu Umar Le Lechaz Chalaki Da'av. There, in the case of our Mishnah, the man who has to prove it is going against the cheskes aguf. Right? There's a cheskes aguf for the woman, and for the husband has to prove it, going against the cheskes aguf. But hacha, balach hamar ma'isi rayu, mukim chazaka biyadeh. What's Shmuel saying? Shmuel's saying, in Shmuel's case, the guy who has the cheskes aguf has to prove it. The guy who has the cheskes aguf, there's a cheskes aguf that his donkey was always alive, and he has to prove it. So it's not exactly parallel. So again, it's not an exact case. So, third try. Let's go back to the first possibility. Says Rav Nachman, really is going like the first line of the Mishnah. What was the problem though? With a parallel? In the first line of the Mishnah, we said the husband is trying to prove and be motzi mamon. And in Shmuel's case, he's trying to be mokim mamon, keep the cow. So we say, no. Ula kiddushin. We're talking about the fact that if the father cannot prove his case, then the marriage is null and void, and he'd have to give back the kesef kiddushin. So it's also a case of he's trying to be Mekayim. Just like Shmuel's case, he's trying to prove to keep the cow, so too in the Mishnah, he's trying to prove to keep the Kesef Kiddushin. Because what's going to happen? If the Kiddushin is Batel, then not only will his daughter not get the Ksuba, he's going to have to give back the money. He's going to have to give back the Kesef Kiddushin that the husband gave him on behalf of his daughter. So therefore, that's the parallel. And the Gemara just adds on, V'lo Tema Aliba Demandamar Kiddushin Lav L'Tivu Anitnu. What are you talking about? Let's say, Machlok is Mesechus Kiddushin. Let's say the husband gives his wife money, Hayram Kudash is Libet Abazu, and Rachmana Litzlan, between Erisin and Nisuin, the husband dies. So does the money that the Kala is holding go back to the heirs of the husband? Do we say that he only gave her Kesef Kiddushin because he had in mind to marry her Nisuin? Or do we say, no, he gave her the money, hoping for the best. Tivuin. Matlo hadbiat be tavez is to be drowned. That means you want to drown the money. You want to stick it in. Litivu and kesef kiddushin litivu and nitnu means you gave the kesef to drown. Meaning no matter what you gave it, there's no intention of getting it back. Lav litivu and nitnu is the mandamer that says no. He only gave it on condition he has in mind to have nisuin, but there's a chance it's going back. So that's what the Mishnah here is saying. Again, What's the Yukimta of the Gemara? That it's the husband. What's the case of in the Mishnah that's like Shmuel? The husband is trying to prove his case in order to keep the Kesef Kiddushin. And now the Gemara adds, V'lo tema alib de manda amar kiddushin lav letivu nidu. And it's not only according to the manda amar that Kesef Kiddushin would revert back if the man dies before Nisuin. Even according to the opinion there that says that Kesef Kiddushin always goes forever and is never coming back, but that's only if it was a good marriage and the guy happened to die of a Kiddushin Taos. But even that opinion would agree that if it's a mistaken marriage, that the Kesef would revert back if it turns out to be a mistaken marriage. Period. So we proved which part of the Mishnah is like Shmuel. It's the first line of the Mishnah. How is it parallel? Just like in Shmuel's case, the original donkey owner has to prove his case in order to keep the cow. So too in the first line of the Mishnah, the husband, the father, has to prove his case in order to keep his Kiddushin money. That's the parallel. Period.
Yeah. Who says
he was carrying
his money?
Who says he was... Let's... The assumption... Who says he was mekashir with money? Maybe it was with shtar. I guess kiddu kesef is the most common. Kesef is the most common. Okay, so meisve. Now we have a kasha on Shmuel. Kasha on Shmuel. Again, what's Shmuel's case? Keep it clear. Shmuel's case is, we're switching donkey and cow. I pulled your cow. We don't know. We find out the donkey died. We don't know. So the person holding the cow has to prove that his donkey died after he pulled the cow. And that is the case. So now we're going to quote a source from Maseches Chulin about treifas. You know, the second paragraph of Maseches Chulin lists all of the treifas of an animal, which makes it not kosher. Hopefully, we're going to read the Gemara, and hopefully, if we have time, we're going to talk about a little lundus about nevela and treifa. Nevela, what does nevela mean? Nevela means an animal that died without shechita. Animal died, you find an animal that died. Treifa had a shechita. A treifa had a shechita, but you found a mum inside of it that it would have died. It was on its way to dying anyway, right? There was some type of fatal wound, had a hole in the lung, or whatever it is. That's a treifa. You did a ma'aseh shechita to it, but it's treif. The big difference is, nevela is tamei, treifa is not tamei. They're both aser b'achila, but there are differences in halacha. So hopefully we'll talk about it afterwards. But let's just do the Gemara first. Meisa. Machat shenim seis bo'ovi beis hakosos. Let's say you shecht an animal, and then you open one of its stomachs. Animal has a bunch of stomachs. You find a needle in one of its stomachs. So mitzad echad kishera. And you find it inside, so the animal obviously ate the needle. Animal ate the needle, but then you're wondering whether the needle pierced the animal's stomach before the animal died, which would make it a treifa. Or maybe it didn't. Maybe it somehow got in there, you know, after it died. You don't know. So, mitzad echad kashera. First the Gemara says, if it only went through one side of the stomach, it didn't go all the way through, it's kosher. That's not a treifa. Mishnei tzadim treifa. But if it went through the whole way, that's a treifa. But even if it went through both sides, nimsu alek kurdam biyadushu lepnei shechita. Only if you find some blood that's congealed around the edge of the needle, do you know that it pierced before the animal died, and therefore that's a treifa. Lo nimsu alek kurdam. But if there's no blood on the needle, so you assume that maybe if the animal obviously ate it before it died, but maybe it pierced the stomach only after the animal died because there's no blood on it. There was no blood flowing after the animal died. So then, biyadushu lachar shechitas, then you know it only happened after shechita, and therefore there's no problem. An animal can't become a treifa once it had a heter shechita. Right? That doesn't work. But what about huglad piyamaka? What if it's scabbed over already? It's scabbed over. So biyadushu shloshi yamim kodim shechita. If it's already scabbed over, then you know that it already happened at least 3 days before shechita. L'may nafkamina. Let's say you have a rancher who has animals, who sells animals to a butcher. And all of a sudden, the butcher opens this animal and sees this. So the butcher could come and say, look, this was here 3 days ago. So mekatos, I want my money back. That's the issue here. Where a butcher says, this one was here before you sold it to me. I want my money back. The rancher is going to say, no, it just happened now. It was after it was in your rishos. But says the Gemara, if it's scabbed over already, so then we could assume that it's already been there for 3 days. Lohug let piyamaka, but let's say there's blood, but it's not scabbed over. So now you're not sure. Hamotzi mechaver lavaraya. So then hamotzi mechaver lavaraya. So who's the motzi? So now here we go. V'yav tavach dame. If the butcher already paid for it, and now he wants his money back, boy lasu yiraya mefik. So the butcher has to bring a raya that this mum was there before he bought it, and then he could get his money back. So now the Gemara asks, V'yamai, Baal behema laisi rai v'nokim. Now we have a kasha on Shmuel, just like in Shmuel's case. The owner of the donkey has to bring the raya that the donkey was beseder at the time of the sale. So too here. Why shouldn't the rancher have to bring the raya that his animal was beseder at the time of the sale? Right? Why does the other guy, why does the butcher have to prove it? According to Shmuel, shouldn't it be the Baal HaBehema that has to prove it? So Gemara says, but the lo yav tavachtame. You're right. Our case here is where the butcher didn't pay yet. So who's the motzi? The rancher. The Baal HaBehema is the motzi. He wants to get paid. So it's an exact parallel to Shmuel. In both cases, the owner of the animal has to prove it. So Gemara says, my paska. What do you mean? The butcher never... The Gemara, this source says, Hamosi mechaber lavaraya. So the rancher isn't always the motzi. Sometimes it could be the butcher, so it still doesn't work. What we're saying, maybe it's talking about this case, but it's not always like that. Sometimes the butcher pays. So Ella, so we go back on the whole thing. Don't listen to what my brother said in the name of Shmuel, which was an Amud Aleph. In the case of the cow and the donkey, he's wrong. This is what Shmuel said. No, whoever had the suffix nolad in their reshus, he has to bring the raya. Meaning, in the case of Shmuel, again, I'm the donkey owner, I pulled the cow, now we go home and we see that the donkey died, it's the other guy, the original cow owner, that has to bring the raya. Because now the suffix is nolad in his reshus. I'm holding the cow, so now the cow's in my reshus. Now the donkey's in your reshus. Alright, the donkey died, tough luck on you, you have to prove it. That's Shmuel's rule. Wherever the suffix is found, that's who has to bring the raya. V'tana tuna kala. And about that, Shmuel says that there's a line in the Mishnah that proves like me. So let's finish up first, and then hopefully we'll talk about it for a minute. Meisvei. So now we say, we ask the same kasha on this Shmuel. Machach, shiv hisbo v'besakosis v'chulu. V'delo yav tavach dami baal ba'ehem amboi lasu yirayu meifig. What did we just say in the case of the butcher and the rancher? That if the butcher hadn't paid yet, the owner of the animal has to bring the raya. So v'yamai, seikim rishis tavach isyulid. So now we ask a kasha on the second version of Shmuel. What does the second version of Shmuel say? Wherever the suffix was nola, that's who has to bring the raya. So now we're back to this case of chulin. But what do you mean? The butcher had the suffix nola in his rishus. So he should always have to bring the raya. So why does this source say that if he didn't pay yet, the other guy has to bring the raya? So Gemara says, you're right, no, but the butcher paid. The butcher paid already. So that's why you're right. The butcher is bringing the raya. So it fits in because the suffix was nolad in his rishus. Umay paska, same kasha. Why do we assume that the butcher always pays first? So Gemara says, no, because that's the truth. Stama de milsa, kamad lo yav inish zuze, lo yav inish chiyusa. People don't give over the animals unless they get paid first. So you could assume that the butcher paid first, and once the butcher pays first, he's the motzi, and the tzavik is nolad, birshuso. There is, we have about a minute, 2 minutes to talk about it, there is a major discussion from Reb Chaim, where the Rav Soloveitchik quoted his father, Reb Moshe, who said that his grandfather, Reb Chaim, said this at his bar mitzvah tretel. This was Reb Chaim's bar mitzvah tretel. The relationship between Nevela and Trefa. Right, so the next time we go to a bar mitzvah tretel, we don't know why is he talking about some detail in Hilchos Tefillin? Let's say he's at least talking about Hilchos Tefillin. You know, Reb Chaim's bar mitzvah tretel was the relationship between Nevela and Trefa. And Reb Chaim proved from a number of Rambams and other Rishonim that even though it seems very different, that Trefa means there was a Shechita and there's a side problem, while Nevela means the animal died without Shechita, really it's Isser Shem Echad. The Isser of Nevela and Trefa is really one Isser, that there is no Heter Shechita. There was no Heter Shechita. Nevela didn't have a Shechita, and Trefa. So really, it's really a combined. It's one Isser. So he said, Beferish, the Rambam in Hilchot Achalas Asuros in Perek Dalet says, Kol Isurin Shebatorah in Mitztarfim Zemze. Isurin are not Mitztarf. Let's say I have a little Arla and a little Chazer that fell into my pot, but not enough of each one to Trefa up my pot. Because I had 60, I had Shishim Kinegedit. So can they combine? I had some Arla, I had some Chazer. It doesn't combine. Says the Rambam, there's one exception to the rule. Nevela and Trefa are mitztarif to each other. Listen to the lashon of the Rambam. Ho'el v'ha-trefa, tchilas nevela hi. Trefa is tchilas nevela. What does that mean? Somehow it means that they're connected. Nevela and Trefa are shem echad, and they are connected in Lamdis. So there's a big, if you want to look at a big discussion, there's the Rishima Shiurim of the Rav Soloveitchik on Shvuos in Chelek Aleph, page Samach and Samach Aleph. He proves 10 rayas that Reb Chaim had, that Nevela and Trefa are one. Just one other one, and then we'll finish. The Rambam quotes the Mishnah Maseches Chulin, that what if a non-Jew shechts? Shechitas Akum. Shechitas Akum, so what's the halacha of that animal? So the Mishnah says, nevela. Nevela, and it's metamek nevela. Metamek nevela. It's like a nevela. The Rambam says that's a din derabanan. A din derabanan. Really, mida oraisa, it is not tame. The kar bein, I said the Rambam, shav semi divrei sofrim. I said the Rambam, once it's usher ba'achila, how can I say it's not tame? Says the Rambam, there are many things that are usher ba'achila, not tame. Like trefa. So the Rambam compares there again. The Gemara says shkidas akum is nevela, and the Rambam says really it's only derabanan. It's not really tame, right? If an akum shechs, the animal is not matami mishum nevela. It's a big nafkamina. If it's matame for koanim. And the Rambam quotes that it really has the status of a treif. Again, that's another raya. But again, you can look here for another 10 rayas. This was Reb Chaim's bar mitzvah pshatel, and they quote in the footnote here that Reb Chaim said this at his bar mitzvah, and then Reb Chaim's father, who was at his bar mitzvah, the Beis Halevi, you know, after his son gave the bar mitzvah pshatel, he said about him the pasuk in Mishlei, Ben Chacham Yismach Av. And so we should all be zochet to say that pasuk at our son's bar mitzvah. And Shem, have a good Shabbos. Tomorrow's daf. Enjoy it. Subas Ayin Zayin. It's amazing. Agadatas. Ashri Misha Balakan Matamudo Biyado. Right? The Malach HaMavis is coming to get Reb Shua Ben Levi, and he says, I want another month. So, you know, it's a great stories. Enjoy it. Sorry it's on Shabbos, but enjoy it. We'll pick up with the next Perek. That is Shem on Sunday. Okay. This year was Zeichan Ishmas, Brian Dobas, or Moshe Sef.